Welcome back, Bulldog basketball fans, to an exciting episode of the Drake Bulldog Basketball Podcast. Fully extended name there. Following the season sweep of the Bradley Braves, Drake came out on top in this one, 72-67. It was a raucous atmosphere, as you can probably hear from my voice. I'm a little bit hoarse right now. Fortunately, Eduardo took a little bit better care of his, so here he is with some instant analysis.
Drake 72, Bradley 67. Drake advances to the championship game for the fourth straight year. We knew it was going to be a rock fight. Bradley came out hot. They came out playing with a lot of intensity, with a lot of physicality. I guess my first question, Tucker, I mean, I'm obviously so pumped. Drake was down 23-9 in the first half. Tucker DeBries had not hit a bucket. What were you thinking when we were down 14 in the first half?
Well, I'll tell you, not to brag about my basketball knowledge, but if you go check my feed, I tweeted, this place is going to get loud when Drake makes the comeback.
So there was no doubt in your mind then, is what you're saying.
I was extremely apprehensive just because I'm not going to say I dislike Bradley, but Bradley's fans are very vocal. And if you looked across the stadium, a lot of them were talking a whole lot of trash, making crying faces, screaming at players. They're not a fan of Connor Enright, but yeah, Drake's a better basketball team than Bradley, as they've demonstrated on three occasions this season. You knew the Bulldogs were going to come back.
So in the past month, we've beaten Bradley three times, as you said, sweeping them. You told me not to mention streaks. So you can mention it now. I can mention it now. That's 5 of 6 in the last 2 years, twice beating them in the MVC tournament. That being said, though, we knew it was going to be tough. Bradley is legitimately a very good team. A lot of upperclassmen. It was 23-9, and really the guy that I want to highlight to start off, because there were really a lot of unsung heroes in this one, Connor Enright in that first half was an absolute menace on both ends of the floor. He was all over Duke Dean's head. He ended up with 10 points, all of them in the first half, hit a couple of big threes, was just everywhere, man. Like, Connor's energy was huge. And I also want to say, like, Tucker didn't have a great shooting day. And on a day where Drake shot 37%, where Tucker DeBries hit only 3 field goals the entire game, Drake finds a way to pull it out. Even then, it was 23-9. What does Tucker do? He hits a big three to kind of get us back into the flow of things. So it took a lot of effort to get back into the game. And it was really Connor that turned the game on its head. Also great minutes from Kyron in that stretch, but I just thought, you know, we were down 14, so to go into the break tied when we played such a poor first half, when Bradley shot over 60% from the field, and we go into it just mentally like we're tied. So how did you feel at half?
I was thrilled and very optimistic about our chances, because honestly, when we were down 14, I knew we were going to come back, but I thought that it was going to take a lot longer than it did. Mm-hmm. I expected it to come halfway through the second half. And so when Connor was able to go on that little mini run where he knocked down 2 threes and got fouled on a third one and hit the free throws, that was great. And so for Bradley coming into this game, the mental aspect of it was so huge for them, because mm-hmm. Drake obviously boat raced them in the championship last year, handled them without too much difficulty both times this year. They came out guns blazing, full of emotion, diving after every loose ball. They wanted this so badly. And you could see that. And so they seized the initiative early on. And when they got a little bit of a lead, they were extremely fired up. So for Drake to then weather that surge and have Connor Enright just step up and be like, nah, I'm going to go ahead and grab that lead now. But I hope you enjoyed it. I really hope you enjoyed it.
I can't, you know, I know we're talking now for a couple minutes on Connor's impact, but he was just, oh my God, like, he shot those threes with such confidence. The second one was from 30 feet out. Mm-hmm. And defensively, he was just working his ass to get in front of Duke Dean. Duke wanted no part of Connor. He was just all over him. And he just turned the game on its head. I know this is the second time I've said it on this podcast, but he was massive. And also, we got to point out Enright, you know, round of applause to him. 20 huge points on this one, 6 of 10 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3. Would I mention this if he didn't have a great game? I was watching him in warmups, and I swear I thought he just had a good bounce onto his step when he was shooting. Like, that's what I thought as I was watching him. He just looked with, like, he had a lot of energy, and he played like it because there was no hesitation on his game. And there's been a couple times this year where we've talked about how Adin really raises the ceiling of this team when he's a scorer, when he's shooting with confidence, and oh my God, did he give us a huge lift all night. Anytime we needed a bucket, Adin was the answer. But, you know, before we really dive into the second half.
Time out. I'm interrupting you mid-stride just because forget about his offense. Yeah. Bradley's coming down the court.
Okay, yeah.
Let's go to one possession.
Yeah, let's go to it. So down two, minute left.
Connor Hickman, who's been lighting us up all game, comes down the court. He's feeling good. Atten picks him up and just dives his hand in there, steals the ball. Outside of his incredible shooting night, because Atten's an offensive stud, That was huge.
It was, I mean, that was kind of the turning point late in the game. You know, it was 38-38 at half. Second half was only 34-29. So really, every basket, every free throw was huge. And Bradley's coming down with Connor Hickman handling the ball. And Atten gets the massive steal. You know, he hits a free throw to put Drake up, I believe, three at that point, which was huge. Then Bradley comes down, gets an easy layup with Connor Hickman. So it's 68-67.
Take us through it.
And the ball goes to Tucker DeVries in the post on Connor Hickman. At that moment, Tucker was 2 of 11 from the field. There was absolutely no hesitation. He knew what he was doing. He was going to post up Connor, go to the little mid-range, splash, puts Drake up three. And that, I mean, honestly, like, when you have a poor shooting night like he did and just the ability to say, it doesn't matter. You know, I was really impressed with Tucker tonight. I know that he didn't shoot the ball well, but I just felt like his demeanor when Drake was down was, I'm going to go out swinging, which I love about him. You know, whenever we go into these big holes at times, he's just going to go out firing. You know, he's going to shoot it, and he did that again. He knew we needed a bucket, and he got that, gave us a three-point lead. And then we needed to get one more stop, and we did, and he shot the free throws to close it out, 72-67. It was a full-team effort, and we haven't even touched on Kevin Overton.
Dude, talk about clutch. And a freshman.
This is a freshman.
Just a reminder. And I know that we've selected him as our Freshman of the Year. Ignore the Valley Awards because that's nonsense. DBP had it correct from the day we signed him. We've been talking about Kevin Overton, hyping this guy up. And boy, did he deliver at the free throw line late in a huge game.
Was huge on the free throw line. And Kevin Overton got the assignment. Malavi Leonce is a first-team All-Valley Conference player. And Malavi ended up with 6 points, Tucker. All of them from the free throw line. He did not make a basket. And, you know, obviously that's an uncharacteristic bad game for Malavi. But Kevin Overton only let him take 2 shots the entire game. And that is unbelievable.
This is a guy who the Peoria News Station was telling us before the year was in contention for player of the year in the Valley.
Malavi is a very, very good player.
And a great defender, next level defender.
Absolutely. And he shot the ball twice. 2 3-point field goals the entire game. Kevin Overton's defense was outstanding. Like, I just can't emphasize enough, how the hell did we force Malavi to only take 2 shots the entire game? Granted, he got to the line, like I said, 6 of 8 from the free throw line, but unbelievable. You know, to have Kevin Overton outscore him 8-6. I had talked about how I didn't feel like that was a great matchup for him, and he did it. You know, he outscored arguably their best player or their most complete player. Connor Hickman had a great game for them, as we said, 21 points. Connor was feeling it. Duke Dean, I believe he only shot once or twice the second half. Like, again, he only shot 7 times the entire game. Like, this is really hard to do, to ball deny, to not let Duke Dean and Malavi even shoot the frickin' ball. And I think that was kind of the reason why Bradley got on a run the first half because Drake was forcing, as Shaq always likes to call them, the others. Drake was forcing the others to take shots, and they were hitting them in the first half. Like, Christian Davis had a good game, and even Admar Adlison in the second half had a decent stretch there. So they were hitting them, but when they didn't, that's when Drake kind of pounced. I felt like Drake was on the cusp a couple times on going on a run and really at, you know, taking control of the game. They never did. Bradley hung in there. But wow, I mean, what a game. And in a game where Brody, again, I thought he was kind of the mismatch going into this one, where we could really take advantage of Bradley. He got emotional there in the first half, throwing his headband.
After
a non-foul call, only had 4 points and 6 rebounds. But I thought he played much better in the second half. And again, I can't emphasize enough. Drake hit 20 baskets the entire game. They hit 20 baskets, shot 37%. Tucker scored 3 field goals, and they managed to beat Bradley. It was a complete gut check game, a complete, you just got to dig in, play defense, and figure out a way to freaking win the ball game. And that's what Drake did.
And this was a game where so many things weren't going Drake's way. If you were watching this on TV, you probably heard Drake's fans booing because there was a lot of contact going up and down the court where the refs were letting it go.
Yep.
They were extremely inconsistent. Some plays you'd get a slight bump called. Other plays you'd see Darnell go up, arms go across both of his as he's trying to go up with the ball, and they just let it go. And I think for Darnell, that's part of why he had such a tough game, because he had so many plays, play after play, where he'd have the ball in the post, go up, get hacked, nothing was called. And there was one particularly frustrating one where they came across both arms, and as a result, the ball flew out of bounds.
Yep.
And then they checked it, and they're like, well, yeah, it's off Brody. And it's like, yes, it is off Brody, because he had a guy hanging off of each arm. But despite the lack of calls that we saw out there today, and despite just some of the genuinely tough roles we got. I'm not even talking about officiating here, but like KO had a drive late in the game where he went up, rolled all the way around the rim. And I'm like, all right, sweet. And one. And then just finally fell off. But yeah, it was one of those games where the roles aren't going your way.
Nope.
The refs had some rough calls here and there, but Drake managed to rise above circumstances.
Yeah.
And they said, nope, we're not going to let bounces, rolls, and refs define our season. We're going to get out there and we're going to out tough Bradley. And they did.
They did. And it took them a while to adjust because, again, credit to Bradley. They came out. They were playing so physical. Again, yeah, they were fouling a little bit and the refs weren't calling it always. But Drake had to match that physicality and it took them a while to adjust. But once they did, you knew it was on and you knew it was a rock fight. You know, the two things that Drake did really well today, they did shoot 11 of 24 from three, which is huge on a close game like this. And they got to the line 27 times. I'm sure Bradley Braves fans won't like the fact that Bradley only shot 15 free throws.
I mean, it should have been 37 times. If there's one thing Bradley does well, it's foul on defense.
They were physical and they were forcing the refs to make that call. But again, getting to the line 27 times and just really when you go across the board, everyone shot free throws fairly well. That was huge. And again, like I said, the 3-point line. But a 5-point win over Bradley and like I said, a gut check win for Drake. And I guess we can say we're battle tested for Sunday afternoon against Indiana State.
Yeah, absolutely. Indiana State had a much easier semifinal matchup against the Panthers of Northern Iowa. They ran away with that one. I think the final ended up being something like 92-72, but they were up 30.
Yeah. I don't even know what the final score was because why does it matter? I think they're they won by a million.
No, they they got to play UNI, so it's essentially a free pass to the finals.
Such
but,
a shame.
But
such
then
a
again,
shame for the Panthers.
Then again, Drake got to play Bradley, so that was essentially a free pass.
Very different free passes, but ultimately you end up with the two best teams in the conference in the championship game.
But this is great for the Valley. The Valley has to love this because now, no matter who ends up on top tomorrow afternoon, the other team at least theoretically has a shot for an at-large bid. I think the Valley is a two-team bid conference. They absolutely deserve it. Whether or not the bracketologists agree with us, we have yet to see. I saw Joe Lunardi already bumped us up to his first 4 out following the victory against Bradley. Iowa is in there as well, which That's a separate conversation because they had no business being in the first four out. No,
but they beat Wisconsin once. I think they should be in the tournament, though.
God, what? Yeah. What a deserving team. But that's a separate conversation. Great result for the Dogs. Eduardo, what do you think going into tomorrow's matchup with Indiana State? This is a team that we've talked about it. They only play six guys regular minutes. So even though we had a tougher matchup today, you got to think that they'll be feeling that a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, I think depth has always been an issue with Indiana State. I mean, granted, they had two fairly easy wins in Arch Madness, so that probably hasn't impacted as much. I thought there was a stretch there early in the first half where Coach DeVries was conserving Drake a little bit too much, and it was making me nervous. I was like, okay, Coach, I know that we might have a game tomorrow, but it's time to put Tucker back in the game. So he was definitely thinking about Sunday. Big thing with Indiana State, I would say, is this is a probably the antithesis of what we just experienced with Bradley. We knew Bradley was going to be a defensive slugfest, just grind it out, figure out a way to win type game. Indiana State is not going to be like that. It's going to be a who can get into the better flow of their offense. I've been a firm believer that the way you beat Indiana State is with offense and not necessarily defense. I mean, obviously in the defensive end, you want to make it tough on Robbie and their three-point shooters and all that. But I just think that you got to have a great offensive game against Indiana State to win. And Indiana State is great. Like, they're a really good team. They move the ball well. They shoot a lot of threes. I think the obvious, you know, low-hanging fruit topic to discuss is the Brody against Avila matchup. When we played in Des Moines, Brody had arguably like the best game of his Drake career. And when they played in Indiana State, Robbie had a great game and it was a completely different one. So Brody has to be huge. You know, he hasn't been super impactful in these two games. I'm hoping the big man is saving his best for last, because he has to be big. And more so than anything, the thing about Brody that makes him so special is he can impact the game with his passing so much. And in this particular matchup, it'll be just being aggressive and hopefully getting Robbie in foul trouble and making him defend. That's what Brody has to do. Everything else, you know, Indiana State is going to shoot a lot of threes. They're going to make a lot of threes. And Drake just has to hang in there, play their game, you know, and we need Larry to show up. You know, we do need Tucker DeVries tomorrow to have a huge game. And I think he's going to have a huge game tomorrow.
Yeah, in terms of slightly higher hanging fruit, Avila gets into foul trouble constantly, and always. I think Drake needs to attack the bucket from the break, not just with Brody, but I think we need to work on penetrating a lot. Isaiah Swope for Indiana State has a lingering knee injury, so he's not quite as quick as he has been. I think there are going to be opportunities to attack the bucket, and if you can force Robbie Avila to become a rim protector, that's great, because it's not his strength. He's not exactly Michael Jordan in terms of his vertical game. Most people don't describe him as soaring through the air when he jumps. So if we can attack the basket, force him to try to stop our guards, forwards from getting there and get him into foul trouble, Drake has an opportunity to really put up some points against the Sycamores, because their backup is Xavier Bledsoe, and he's, I believe, 6'6", 6'7".
Right.
He's a little guy, and that's when we can start to win the rebounding battle, and that's when Brody can start to score in the paint more.
Yeah, I mean, the Robbie Avila getting him in foul trouble thing is a big thing, and, you know, you mentioned his defense. You know, Jacob Hudson today for you and I had 20-plus. Like, you can score on Robbie. I mean, that's clearly one of the weaker points of his game. The thing about it is, obviously, you and I didn't shoot the ball well, so it's not only the scoring down low, it's more so, you know, what are you doing with all that activity and attention that you're attracting towards the bucket, right? So it's not just, hey, Brody, you know, score 16, 18 points. It's, are you kicking out? Are you finding the open shooters when defense collapse? And that's what Drake has to do really well tomorrow. And look, Indiana State, they've had a great year. Obviously, they won the regular season. They're absolutely an NCAA tournament team. There's no doubt in my mind. So it's going to be a battle. And Drake has the experience. They got the shooting. They got everything it takes to beat a team like Indiana State again. They did it already in Des Moines. They played them really tough at Indiana State. So, you know, I expect Drake to play well. And you can't leave it to chance. You know, there's still a chance that Drake can get in as an at-large. There's still a chance that Indiana State can get in as an at-large, but they got to win. You know, we're here to win Arch Madness. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, let's not put this in the hands of a super biased Power 5 favoring NCAA tournament committee. Let's go out there, one and done. Let's get it tomorrow.
That's all there is to say. I mean, it's going to be fun. You know, we're here again, fourth straight year. I know this is uncharted territory for Drake. You know, it's unbelievable the job that Coach DeBrees has done. Just consistently building a winner for Drake University. And we have another shot to claim the title. And I just can't wait because it's going to be fun here in St. Louis.
Absolutely. You got anything more for us? Actually, I've got something more for you.
What's that?
Shout out to Nate Erickson for changing his plans and driving down to St. Louis today to support the Dogs. Anyone listening to this in Des Moines or the surrounding cities, follow his example. Tickets are available. Get down here and join the section because Drake fans are going hard at this. It was funny because today Bradley had, I would say they probably had us beat in terms of numbers, but just from sheer enthusiasm and consistency, like Drake fans are on their feet for the vast majority of the game. It's like a student section filled with 60-year-olds.
Absolutely. I mean, Nate's a smart man, made the right decision, come on down. And I was telling Admire earlier, you know, it sucks recording a podcast after a loss. So thankfully we win. And guess what? It'll be super fun to record a podcast tomorrow if we win. So I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Come on down to St. Louis. Drake, Indiana State, this is
national
this
TV, what, CBS.
This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about, you know?
Yeah.
Anything else on your side?
No, man. Let's do this. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.